Okay, part two. This is July 25, 2025, or it is the second day of Abe 2029. This is Acts of the Apostles, part two of From Persecutor to Disciple. Now Yeshua has spoken unto Saul with his own voice, Saul, why the persecutor Saul made, and the question, "Who art thou?" Yeshua was answered by the name same voice. I'm should have thought the whole thing all over again. Now this is part two of From Persecutor to Disciple. Now we're on page 117. Acts of the Apostles. Now Yeshua has spoken unto Saul with his own voice, saying, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the question, "Who art thou?" Yeshua was answered by the same voice, "I am Yeshua whom thou persecutest." For Yeshua here identifies himself with his people in the persecuting of the followers of the Yahshua. Saul has struck directly against the Yahshua of the heaven, and the falsely accusing and testifying against him, he had falsely accused and testified against the Savior of the world. No doubt entered the mind of the Saul that the one who spoke to him was Yeshua of Nazareth, the long-looked-for Messiah, for the consolation and redeemer of the Israel. Trembling and astonished, he inquired, "Yeshua, what wilt thou have me to do?" And Yeshua said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." When the glory was withdrawn, and Saul arose from the ground, he found himself totally deprived of the sight. The brightness of Yahshua's glory had been too intense for his mortal eyes, and when it was removed, the blackness of the night settled upon his vision. He believed that this blindness was a punishment from Yahweh for his cruel persecution of the followers of Yahshua. In the terrible darkness, he groped about, and his companions in fear and amazement led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus on the morning of that evening day, or eventful day. Saul had neared Damascus with the feelings of the self-satisfaction he caused as the confidence that had been placed in him by the chief priest to desire for pardon and acceptance. He offered up fervent applications to the throne of grace. For the prayers of the penitent Pharisee was not in vain. The inmost thoughts and emotions of his heart were transformed by the divine grace, and his nobler faculties were brought into the harmony with the eternal purposes of the Yahweh. For Yeshua and his righteousness became to Saul more than the whole world. For the conversion of the soul is a striking evidence of the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to convict a man of sin. He had verily believed that the Yeshua of the Nazareth had disregarded the law of Yahweh and had taught his disciples that it was of no effect. But after his conversion, Saul recognized Yahshua as the one who had come into the world for the express purpose of vindicating his father's law. He was convinced that Yahshua was the originator of the entire Jewish system of sacrifices. He saw that at the crucifixion type had met antitype, that Yahshua had fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Redeemer of Israel. And the record of the conversion of the soul, important principles are given us, which we should ever bear in mind. For the soul was brought directly into the presence of the Yahshua. He was one whom the Yahshua intended for a most important work. One who was to be a chosen vessel unto him. Yet the Yahweh did not at once tell him of the work that had been assigned to him. He arrested him in his course and convicted him of sin. But when Saul asked, "What wilt thou have me to do?" the Savior placed the inquiring Jew in the connection with his church, there to obtain a knowledge of Yahweh's will concerning him. Continue here. We're on page 121 at the top. For the marvelous light that illuminated the darkness of the soul was the work of the Yahweh. But there was also a work that was to be done for him by the disciples. For Yahshua had performed the work of the revelation and conviction, and now the penitent was in a condition to learn from those whom Yahweh had ordained to teach his truth. Saul, in the solitude at the house of the Judas, continued in prayer and application and supplication. The Yahshua appeared in vision unto a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, telling him that Saul of the Tarsus was praying and in need of help. "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. For the heavenly messenger said, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of the Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Ananias could scarcely credit the words of the angel, for the reports of the Saul's bitter persecution of the saints at the Jerusalem had spread far and wide. for he presumed to expostulate, Yeshua, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done unto thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the command was imperative, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, obedient unto the direction of the angel. And I sought after the man who had but recently breathed out threatening against all who believed on the name of Yeshua, and putting his hand on the head of the penitent sufferer, he said, Brother Saul, Yeshua, even Yeshua that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Thus Yahshua gave sanction unto the authority of his organized church, and placed Saul in a connection with his appointed agencies on the earth. For Yahshua had now a church as his representative on earth, and unto it belonged the work of the direction of the directing of the repentant sinner in the way of life. Many have an idea that they are responsible unto the Yahshua alone for their light and experience, and independent of his recognized followers on the earth. Yahshua is a friend of the sinners, and his heart is touched with their woe. He has all power, both in heaven and on earth. But he respects the means that he has ordained for the enlightenment and salvation of men. For he drifts sinners to the church, which he has made a channel of light to the world. When in the midst of his blind error and prejudice, Saul was given a revelation of the Yahshua whom he was persecuting, for he was placed in the direct communication with the church, which is the light of the world. In this case, Ananias represents Yahshua, and also represents Yahshua's ministers upon the earth, who are appointed to act in his stead. And the Yahshua stead, Ananias touches the eyes of Saul, that they may receive a sight. In the Yahshua stead, he places his hands upon him, and as he prays in Yahshua's name, Saul receives the Holy Spirit. All is done in the name and by the authority of the Yahshua, for the Yahshua is a fountain. The church is the channel of the communication. End of chapter 12. We have about 45 more minutes on this hour, so chapter 13 we will do a days of the preparation. We're on page 123, Acts of the Apostles, as we continue our Bible reading. After his baptism, Paul broke his fast and remained certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Yeshua in the synagogues that he is the son of Yahweh. Boldly he declared Yeshua of the Nazareth to be the long looked for Messiah who died for our sins according unto the scriptures, was buried, rose again on the third day, after which he was seen by the 12 and by others, and last of all, Paul added, he was seen of me also as the one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. For his arguments from the prophecy were so conclusive, and his efforts were so manifestly attended by the power of the Yahweh, that the Jews were confounded and unable to answer him, for the news of the Paul's conversion had come to the Jews as a great surprise. He who had journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priest, Acts 26:12, to apprehend and persecute the believers was now preaching the gospel of a crucified and risen Savior. For the strengthening of the hands of those who were already this disciples, and continually bringing in the new converts into the faith he had once so bitterly opposed. For the Paul had formerly been known as a zealous defender of the Jewish religion and an untiring persecutor of the followers of Yeshua. Courageous, independent, persevering, his talents and training would have enabled him to serve in almost any capacity. He could reason with the extraordinary clearness, and by his withering sarcasm could place an opponent in a no enviable light. And now the Jews saw this young man of the unusual promise united with those whom he formerly persecuted, and fearlessly preaching in the name of Yeshua. For a general slain in the battle is lost to his army, but his death gives no additional strength to the enemy. But when a man of the promise joins the opposing force, not only are his service is lost, but those unto whom he joins himself gain a decided advantage. As Saul of the Tarsus on his way to Damascus might easily have been struck dead by the Yeshua, and much strength would have been withdrawn from the persecuting power. But the Yahweh in his providence not only spared Saul's life, but converted him, thus transferring a champion from the side of the enemy unto the side of the Yeshua, an eloquent speaker and a severe critic, all with his stern purpose and undaunted courage, possessed the very qualifications needed in the early church. As the Paul preached Yeshua in Damascus, all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" Paul declared that his change of the faith had not been prompted by the impulse of fanaticism that had been brought about by the overwhelming evidence in his presentation of the teaching of the plan of salvation of the bread of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is they call the gospel. He sought to make plain the prophecies relating to the first advent of the Yahshua. All right, let's continue. It says, for the Paul showed conclusively that these prophecies had been literally fulfilled in the Yahshua of Nazareth. The foundation of his faith was the sure word of the prophecy. As the Paul continued to appeal unto his astonished hearers to repent and turn unto Yahweh the Father, and do works meet for the repentance, Acts 26:20, he increased the more in the strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at the Damascus, proving that this is the very Yahshua. But many hardened their hearts, refusing to respond to his message, and soon their astonishment at his conversion was changed into the intense hatred like that which they had shown toward Yahshua. For the opposition grew so fierce that the Paul was not allowed to continue his labors at Damascus. For a messenger from the heaven bade him leave for a time, and he went into Arabia, Galatians 1:17, where he found a safe retreat. Here in the solitude of the desert, Paul has simply a simple opportunity for the quiet study and meditation. He calmly reviewed his past experience and made sure work of the repentance. He sought Yahweh with all his heart, resting not until he knew for a certainty that his repentance was accepted and his sin pardoned. For he longed for the assurance that Yahshua would be with him in his coming ministry. For he emptied his soul of the prejudice and tradition that had hitherto shaped his life, and received the instruction from the source of the truth. For the Yahshua communed with him and established him in the faith, bestowing upon him a rich measure of the wisdom and grace. When the mind of the man is brought into the communion with the mind of the Yahweh, the finite with the infinite, the effect on the body and mind and soul is beyond estimate. In such communion is found the highest education. It is Yahweh's own method of the development. Acquaint now thyself with him, Job 22:21, is his message to mankind. For the solemn charge that had been given Paul on the occasion of his interview with the Ananias rested with the increasing weight upon his heart, when in the response to the word, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight," Paul had for the first time looked upon the face of this devout man. For the Ananias, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said unto him, For the Yahweh of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest, let's do that again. For the Yeshua, son of the Yahweh of our fathers, has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Yeshua. Acts 22:13-10. For these words were in the harmony with the words of the Yeshua himself, who when he arrested Saul on his journey to Damascus declared, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto the other, that they may receive forgiveness of the sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua that is in me. Okay. Acts 26:16-18. As he pondered these things in his heart, Paul understood more and more clearly about the meaning of his call to be an apostle of the Yahshua through the will of the Father Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 1:1. His call had come, not of men, neither by man, but by the Yahshua Messiah and Yahweh the Father. Galatians 1:1. For the greatness of the work before him led him to give much study to the Holy Scriptures, in order that he might preach the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua through the new and living way. That's Hebrews 10:19-20. That's what they call the gospel in two words. Not with the wisdom of the words, lest the cross of the Yahshua should be made of none effect, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that's the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of all who heard should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Father Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 1:17, and chapter 2:4-5. As Apollos searched the Scriptures, he learned that throughout the ages, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or called, but the Yahweh the Father has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, as Yahweh chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. And so hearing the wisdom of the world and the light of the cross, Paul determined not to know anything save Yeshua and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Throughout his late ministry, Paul never lost sight of the source of his wisdom and strength. Hear him, years afterwards, still declaring, "For unto me to live is in the Yeshua, Son of Yahweh," Philippians 1:21. "And again, I count all the things but loss, only for the excellency of the knowledge of the Yeshua, my Redeemer and Savior, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may win the Yeshua and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, the new and living way," Hebrews 10:19-20. "For the righteousness that is of the Yahweh by the faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering," Philippians 3:8-10. From the Arabia, Paul returned again unto Damascus, Galatians 1:17, and preached boldly in the name of Yeshua, unable to withstand the wisdom of his arguments. The Jews took counsel to kill him, for the gates of the city were diligently guarded day and night to cut off his escape. For this crisis led the disciples to seek Yahweh earnestly, and finally they took him by the night and led him down through the wall, lowering him in a basket. Acts 9:25. After his escape from the Damascus, Paul went to Jerusalem. About 3 years having passed since his conversion, his chief object in making this visit, as he himself declared afterward, was to see Peter, Galatians 1:18, upon the arriving in the city, where he had once been well known as Saul the persecutor. He had said to join himself unto the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. For it was difficult for them to believe that so bigoted a Pharisee and one who had done so much for the destroying of the apostolic church could become a sincere follower of the Yeshua of the Nazareth. Really, the Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Yeshua in the way, and that he had spoken unto him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Yeshua. Upon hearing this, the disciples received him as one of their number. Soon they had abundant evidence as to the genuineness of his Christian experience, or his atypical apostolic experience. For the future apostle, that was wrong. That word atypical was also wrong. Let's read that last sentence again. Soon they had abundant evidence as for the genuineness of Paul's, let's just go ahead and use that word, Christian experience. In other words, his transfer from being a Pharisee a non-believer to a Christian believer, an apostolic believer. For the future apostle unto the Gentiles was now in the city where many of his former associates lived. And to these Jewish leaders he longed to make plain the prophecies concerning the Messiah, which had been fulfilled by the advent of the Savior. Paul felt sure that these teachers in the Israel, with whom he had once been so well acquainted, were as sincere and honest as he had been. But he had miscalculated the spirit of his Jewish brethren, and in the hope of their speedy conversion, he was doomed to the bitter disappointment. Although he spake boldly in the name of the Yeshua of Nazareth and disputed against the Grecians, those who stood at the head of the Jewish church refused to believe. Verily, I went about to slay him, for the sorrow filled his heart. He would willingly have yielded up his life if by that means he might bring some unto a knowledge of the truth. With the shame he thought of the active part he had taken in the martyrdom of the Stephen, and now in his anxiety to wipe out the stain resting upon one so falsely accused, he sought to vindicate the truth for which the Stephen had given his life. Burden in the behalf of those who refused to believe, Paul was praying in the temple. As he himself afterwards testified, when he fell into a trance, whereupon a heavenly messenger appeared before him and said, "Make the haste and get thee quickly out of the Jerusalem, for they will not receive the testimony concerning me." Acts 22:18. Paul was inclined to remain at the Jerusalem, where he could face the opposition. Unto him it seemed an act of the cowardice to flee, if by the remaining he might be able to convince some of the obstinate Jews of the truth of the gospel. In other words, the truth, making plain about the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. Message. Even if to remain should cost him his life. And so he answered, "Yahweh, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." But it was not in the harmony with the purpose of the Yahweh that his servant should needlessly expose his life. And the heavenly messenger replied, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Acts 22:19-21. Upon learning of this vision, the brethren hastened Paul's secret escape from Jerusalem for the fear of his assassination. They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth unto Tarsus. The departure of Paul suspended for a time the violent opposition of the Jews, and the church had a period of arrest in which many were added to the number of the believers. That's the end of chapter 13. All right, it says here that
A Seeker for the Truth is our title of chapter 14, Acts the Apostle. In the course of the ministry, the Apostle Peter visited the believers at Lydda. Here is at Lydda, L-Y-D-D-A. Here he healed Aeneas, who for 8 years had been confined to his bed with palsy. Aeneas, I shall make it thee whole. For the apostle said, Arise, and make thy bed. He arose immediately, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Yeshua of Joppa, which was near Lydda. There lived a woman named Dorcas, whose good deeds had made her greatly beloved. She was a worthy disciple of Yeshua, and her life was filled with acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing and who needed sympathy, and she freely ministered unto the poor and the sorrowful. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. The church in Joppa realized their loss, and hearing that Peter was at Lydda, the believers sent messengers to him, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats, garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. In the view of the life of service that Dorcas had lived, it is little wonder that they mourned, that warm teardrops fell upon the inanimate clay. For the apostle's heart was touched with the sympathy as he beheld their sorrow. Then directing that the weeping friends be sent from the room, he kneeled down and prayed fervently unto Yahweh to restore Dorcas to life and health. Turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Dorcas had been of the great service in the church, and Yahweh saw fit to bring her back from the land of the enemy, that her skill of energy might still be a blessing to others, but also that by this manifestation of his power, the cause of Yahshua might be strengthened. It was while Peter was still at Joppa that he was called by Yahweh to take the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation, to the brother of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is the gospel unto Cornelius in the Caesarea, for the Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was a man of the wealth and noble birth, and his position was one of the trust and honor. For a heathen by birth, training, and education, through contact with the Jews, he had gained a knowledge of the Yahweh, and he worshipped him with a true heart, showing the sincerity of his faith by a compassion for the poor. He was known far and near for his beneficent, and his righteous life made him of the good repute among both Jews and Gentiles. His influence was a blessing unto all with whom he came into contact, for the inspired record describes him as a devout man and one that feared the Yahweh with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed unto Yahweh always. believing in the Yahweh as the creator of the heaven and the earth, Cornelius reverenced him, acknowledged his authority, and sought his counsel in all the affairs of life. He was faithful unto Yahweh in his home life, and in his official duties, he had erected the altar of Yahweh in his home, for he dared not attempt to carry out his plans or to beat his responsibilities without, or to bear his responsibilities without the help of Yahweh. Though Cornelius believed the prophecies and was looking for the Messiah, Yahshua, to come, he had not a knowledge of the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which condensed down to the word gospel, as revealed in the life and death of Yahshua. For he was not a member of the Jewish church and would have been looked upon by the rabbis as a heathen and unclean. But the same holy watcher who said of Abraham, I know him, knew Cornelius also and sent a message direct from heaven unto him. For the angel appeared to Cornelius while he was at prayer. As the centurion heard himself and addressed by the name, he was afraid, yet he knew that the messenger had come from the Father Yahweh, and he said, What is it, Lord, or Master, or whatever, for the angel, let's read that again, What is it, Master, for the angel answered, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before the Yahweh. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, for he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. For the explicitness of these directions, and which was named even the occupation of the man at whom Peter was staying, it shows that heaven is acquainted with the history and business of men and every station of life. Yahweh is familiar with the experience and work of the humble laborer as well as with that of the king upon his throne. Send men unto Joppa and call for one Simon. Thus Yahweh gave evidence of his regard for the teaching of the plan of salvation through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua's ministry and for his organized apostolic church, Gentile church, actually. For the angel was not commissioned to tell Cornelius the story of the cross, a man a subject, even as a centurion himself unto human frailty and temptation, was to be the one to tell him of the crucified and risen Savior. As his representatives among men, Yahweh does not choose angels who have never fallen, but human beings, men of the like passions, with those they seek to save, Yahshua took humanity that he might reach humanity. A divine, a human Savior was needed to bring salvation unto the world. And the men and women has been committed the sacred trust of the making known of the unsearchable riches of the Yahshua, Ephesians 3:8. In his wisdom, the Yahshua brings those who are seeking for the truth into his touch with the fellow beings who know the truth. For it is the plan of the heaven that those who have received the light shall impart it unto those in darkness, humanity drawing its sufficiency from the great source of the wisdom is made the instrumentality, the working agency through which the gospel or the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, it exercises its transforming power on the mind and heart. For Cornelius was gladly obedient unto the vision. When the angel had gone, the centurion called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. But the angel, after his interview with the Cornelius, went to Peter and Joppa at the time. Peter was praying up on the housetop of his lodging, and we read that he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. It was not for the physical food alone that Peter hungered, as from the housetop he viewed the city of Joppa and the surrounding country. He hungered for the salvation of his countrymen. He had an intense desire to point out unto them from the scriptures the prophecies relating to the suffering and death of the Yahshua. In the vision, Peter saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto them, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of the four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, chill, and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Yahshua, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "For Yahweh hath cleansed that tall not to thou common." This was done 3 times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. This vision conveyed unto Peter both reproof and instruction. It revealed unto him the purpose of Yahweh, that by the death of Yahshua the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs with the Jews for the blessings of the salvation. As yet none of the disciples had preached the gospel unto the Gentiles. In their minds, the middle wall of the partition broken down by the death of Yahshua still existed, and their labors had been confined unto the Jews, for they had looked upon the Gentiles as excluded from the blessings of the gospel, or as I said, the blessings of the teaching of the plan of salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. Now the Yahshua was seeking to teach Peter the worldwide extent of the divine plan. Many of the Gentiles had been interested listeners to the preaching of Peter and the other apostles, and many of the Greek Jews had become believers in Yahshua. But the conversion of the Cornelius was to be the first of the importance among the Gentiles. The time had come for an entirely new phase of the work to be entered upon by the Church of the Yahshua. So that's who we are. We're this new phase of the work, the House of David, since 2002. For the door that many of the Jewish converts had closed against the Gentiles was now to be thrown open, and the Gentiles who accepted the teaching of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua were to be regarded as on an equality with the Jewish disciples without the necessity of the observing of the rite of the circumcision. How carefully the Yahshua worked to overcome the prejudice against the Gentiles that had been so firmly fixed in the Peter's mind by his Jewish training. By the vision of the sheep and its contents, he sought to divest the apostle's mind of the prejudice and to teach the important truth that in heaven there is no respect of the person, that the Jew and Gentiles are alike precious in the Yahweh's sight, that through Yahshua the heathen may be made partakers of the blessings and privileges of the teaching of the plan of the salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, which we call the gospel today. While Peter was meditating on the meaning of the vision, the men sent from the Cornelius arrived in Joppa and stood before the gate of his long lodging house. Then the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Unto Peter this was a trying command, and it was with the reluctance at every step that he undertook the duty laid upon him. But he dared not disobey. He went down to the men which were sent unto him from the Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? They told him of their singular errand, saying, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Yahweh, and of the good report among all the nations of the Jews, of all the nations, singular, of the Jews, was warned from Yahweh by a holy angel to send forth thee into his house and to hear words of thee. In the obedience unto the direction just received from the Yahweh, the apostle promised to go with them. On the following morning, he set out for the Caesarea, accompanied by the six of his brethren. These were to be witnesses of all that he should say or do while visiting the Gentiles. For Peter knew that he would be called to account for so direct a violation of the Jewish teaching. As Peter entered the house of the Gentile, Cornelius did not salute him as an ordinary visitor, but as one honored of the heaven and sent to him by Yahweh. It is an Eastern custom to bow before a prince or other high dignitaries, and for children to bow before their parents. But Cornelius, overwhelmed with the reverence for the one sent by Yahweh to teach him, fell at the apostles' feet and worshipped them. Peter was stricken, and he lifted the centurion up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. While the messengers of the Cornelius had been gone upon their errand, the centurion had called together his kinsmen and near friends, that they, as well as he might hear the preaching of the plan of the salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, which they call the gospel, condensed. When Peter arrived, he found a large company eagerly waiting to listen to his words. Under those assembled, Peter spoke first of the custom of the Jews, saying that it was looked upon as unlawful for Jews to mingle socially with the Gentiles, that to do this involves ceremonial defilement. You know, he said, how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Yahweh has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. For the Cornelius then related his experience and the words of the angel, saying in the conclusion, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before the Yahweh to bear all things that are commanded thee of the Yahweh. Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of the person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Then to that company of the attentive hearers, the apostle preached Yahshua, his life, his miracles, his betrayal and crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension, and his work in heaven as a man's representative and advocate. As the Peter pointed those present unto Yahshua as the sinner's only hope, he himself understood more fully the meaning of the vision he had seen, and his heart glowed with the spirit of the truth that he was preaching. Suddenly the discourse was interrupted by the descent of the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with the tongues and magnify the Father Yahweh. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Yahshua, or of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua of Nazareth. This was the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, with faith in the new and living way, brought unto those who had been strangers and foreigners, making them fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of Yahweh. For the conversion of the Cornelius and his household was but the first fruits of the harvest to be gathered in from this household. A widespread work of the grace was carried on in that hidden city. Now this is the end of our study of chapter 14, part 1 of this Saul of Tarsus, Peter and Cornelius. We haven't finished the chapter yet, so we're going to continue with part 2. Today Yahweh is seeking for the souls among the high as well as the lowly. There are many like Cornelius men whom the Yahshua desires to connect with his work in the world. Their sympathies are with the Yahshua's people, but the ties that bind them to the world hold them firmly. For it requires more courage for them to take the position for Yahshua. Special efforts should be made for these souls who are in so great a danger because of their responsibilities and associations. So Yahweh calls for the earnest, humble workers who will carry the plan of the salvation through the blood, through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, which they condensed down and called it the gospel to the higher class. There are miracles to be wrought and the genuine conversion, miracles that are not now discerned. For the greatest men of this earth are not beyond the power of a wonder-working Yahweh. If those who are workers together with Him will be men of the opportunity, doing their duty bravely and faithfully, Yahweh will convert men who occupy responsible positions, men of the intellect and influence. The source of, he was actually converted to Judaism. Him and one other with him. I think he said Darash. The one that succeeded him was converted to Judaism. So if that's so, well then, you know, you think Donald Trump's going to be converted to just any religion? No. If he's converted, it'll be to this truth that we have right here. Oh man, I'll tell you what now, Chaplain. This thing is awesome. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, many will accept the divine principle, converted unto the truth. They will become agencies in the hand of the Yahweh for to communicate the light. They will have a special burden for the other souls of this neglected class. Time and money will be consecrated to the work of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua, and new efficiency and power will be added unto the church, because of Cornelius, the Gentile centurion, Roman centurion, was living in obedience unto all of the instruction he had received. For the Yahweh so ordered events that he was given more truth as a messenger from the course of the heaven was sent to the Roman officer Alexander Peter in order that the Cornelius might be brought into touch with one who could lead him into the greater light. There are in our world many who are near the kingdom of the Yahweh than we suppose. In this dark world of the sin, the Yahweh has many precious jewels unto whom he will guide his messengers. Everywhere there are those who will take their stand for the Yahshua. Many will prize and want the wisdom of the Yahweh above any earthly advantage, and will become faithful light bearers. Constrained by the love of Yahshua, they will constrain others to come unto him. When the brethren in Judea heard that Peter had gone to the house of a Gentile and preached unto those assembled, they were surprised and offended, for they feared that such a course, which looked to them presumptuous, would have the effect of counteracting his own teaching. When they next saw Peter, they met him with a severe censure, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." Peter laid the whole matter before them. He related his experience in regard to the vision and pleaded that it admonished him to observe no longer the ceremonial distinction of the circumcision and uncircumcision, nor to look upon the Gentiles as unclean. He told them of the command given him to go unto the Gentiles of the coming of the messengers of his journey to Caesarea, and of the meeting with the carnivore. He recounted the substance of his interview with the centurion, in which the latter had told him of the vision by which he had been directed to send for Peter. As I began to speak, he said, in relating his experience, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of Yeshua, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For as much then as the Yahweh gave them the like gift, as he did unto us who believed on the Yeshua Messiah. I might add the part that was left out. For as much then as the Yahweh gave them the like gift, as he had unto us who believed by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the Yahshua, what was I that I could withstand Yahweh? On hearing this account, the brethren were silenced, convinced that Peter's course was in direct fulfillment of the plan of the Yahweh, and that their prejudices and exclusiveness were utterly contrary to the spirit of the gospel. They glorified Yahweh's Son. Then hath Yahweh also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Thus, without controversy, prejudice was broken down, the exclusiveness established by the custom of the ages was abandoned, and the way was opened for the teaching of the plan of salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, to be proclaimed unto the Gentiles. This is the end of chapter 14, and this is the end of our study. This is our contact. This is at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive.